This week, Brother Zach Norman preaches a sermon titled, He Brought the Animals to Adam.
And I do appreciate all of our leaders. I wish Brother Kilman was here. I wanted to pay him back. He, in class the other day, he had me be the Old Testament on purpose. So the class got a kick out of that. But I'm also proud of my wife. He, Brother Kilman said this, Proverbs 31, it's about a man who's able to sit in the gate, a place of prominence based on his wife's reputation. And I'm standing in this pulpit tonight on my wife's reputation, if you didn't know that. And Brother Brzezinski, Sister soon-to-be Brzezinski, appreciate you guys, love you. Love this class, all of our guest pulpits, all of our musicians. You guys do such a great job, and I'm just honored to be here. Young adults has always meant so much to me because it really just let me be at home somewhere in a larger church. So I love and appreciate you guys. If you could turn with me to Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. We'll start there. I don't know how this is going to go tonight, but hopefully the Lord will just move. We can be blessed. Genesis chapter 2, verse 7 says this, And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. Just moving down to verse 19. And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air, and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever ever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. I just want to preach on this thought tonight. He brought the animals to Adam. Good, let's just pray for a minute. Lord, I thank you for the people here. I thank you for this church body. I thank you for the Holy Ghost, Lord. I pray that you would touch us tonight, anoint our minds, anoint my lips, and help us, Lord, to hear from you. In Jesus' name. It was man's first encounter with the living God. And I know all of us, if we stop and pause to think about it, we know that there's something deep within man. There's something in our heart. And it goes deeper than just morals, but it's that breath of life. It's that God formed us, and that Elihu told Job, he said he felt the same thing. He said, The Spirit of God hath made me, and the breath of the Almighty hath given me life. There's preachers in our movement, the late T.W. Barnes, he put it this way. He said, God hid his greatest mysteries not in the sun, moon, and stars, but inside man. They always search out there, but do not find it. God hid it in man's heart. Pastor Paul D. Mooney would simply say it like this, the poetry of a man. It was the beginning of humanity, and we're introduced not just to Adam, but ourselves. It was that entrance of us, an initiation from the Creator to creation, not just with Adam, but with man. So Adam, I'm the Lord God. I put you here in this garden. Dress it. Have dominion over it. Walk with me, talk with me. I'm going to show you who I am. And I can't go this direction with Eve, but then we see Eve and the fall and how sin enters into the world. Adam's disobedience, his failure through that, but we see God's mercy. Unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them. God killed animals. He didn't kill man. God did not let us fizzle out. He did not let us become distinct, but his mercy, even then, reached down and killed two animals, because we know this, that it's the blood that gives remission of sins. But instead of that being man's blood, his mercy reached out and just killed animals. And so we see that Adam's, he's kicked out of the garden, and he now knows the knowledge of sin, and he's going to have pain. He's going to work hard. He's going to have to toil. He's going to have to labor. But he's going to leave that garden. He's going to look behind and know that there's a merciful God. And even his sons will sin. But he's going to have it in his mind that there's hope down the road, because I've encountered this God. And no matter how powerful he is, how much he's touched me, he could kill me in an instant. He could wipe out this whole universe. But when he breathed into me the breath of life, and when I made a mistake, my first encounter after that mistake was mercy. You're going to have pain. You're going to work hard, Adam. You left a good life behind. And then we go to your sons. And I just want somebody to say this. This thought hit me so hard, that it was Cain that slew Abel, not God. It was man that did it, not God. And we see this Old Testament as if God's some sort of merciless judgment. That's just the devil talking to you. God has loved you from the beginning. And so we go to, after hundreds of years, Adam is gone. Humanity's fallen. It's desperately wicked. But after this relationship we see with Adam, we're introduced to another man named by the name of Noah. But Noah found grace. Through all this sin, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And there were generations of Noah. We see that he begat three sons. And the earth was also was corrupt before God. And the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt. For all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Room shalt thou make in the ark, and shalt pitch it within and without. Noah, I am the Lord God, and I've seen that you've been righteous before me. And I know that you see this fallen state. You see man evil in his heart continually, but you've been righteous before me. So I want you to build an ark. Day by day, build this ark, Noah. And this thought struck me one time before I even knew it was in the Bible. Have you ever wondered how if the earth was so evil that God waited 120 years for him to build an ark? It was day by day, and God was not Noah was building something. He was building an ark, but God was building a man. And so for 43,800 days, day after day, evil in this world continued. And Noah built. He obeyed. Peter says it like this: when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah while the ark was preparing. Goes on to talk about baptism. You should really look at that. And it was the long-suffering of God. Maybe it was that people would repent, but maybe it was just because he wanted to show Noah that his promises are true, that he's a just God, a righteous God, that Noah, if you go out and perform this day by day, I'm going to show you that I am faithful. So Noah built an ark while God built a man. And we are shown God's covenant with Noah. He promised never to flood. Once the rain's in and it's all settling down, and he tells them to be fruitful and multiply and to look out and see that bow in the sky as a token of God's promise, because you were faithful, Noah. And after Noah dies, we see the descendants of Noah. And God's mercy, he once again confounds man's thinking and wisdom from the Tower of Babel. I don't have time to go into it, because I want to talk about a third relationship, a man named Abram. And we see God's relationship as he meets this man, Abram. Get out, Abram. I want you to walk with me. I want to show you things. I want to take you somewhere, but you have to obey. You have to walk with me. I'm going to talk with you, but it's about our relationship because I have some things to show you. It was out of his home country, the familiar ground, out of that safe place that God spoke to man, that he talked to Abram. He walked with him. Abram would go on to build altars. And we see here in Genesis 12, verse 2 through 3, "And I will make of thee a great nation," God talking to Abram. "And I will bless thee, make thy name great. Thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse them that curseth thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed." And then Abram is further promised as he dwelt now in Canaan when the scripture, "And the Lord said unto Abram, after that Lot was separated from him, lift up now thine eyes and look from the place where thou art northward, and southward, and eastward, and westward. For all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. And I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered. Arise, walk through the land, the length of it and in the breadth of it, for I will give it unto thee." Look at the earth, Abram. Look at the vastness of it. Look at the curvature. It's so far that it curves out of your sight. Look at the sun, the moon, the stars, how intense, how mighty they are, how large they are, how just innumerable the stars are, how bright it is, how so much vast, so much more powerful, how it comes up and goes down, the lesser for the day, for the night, and how this earth, it seems so large, and you're just a small part of it. But God, he chose not to make a covenant with the earth, the sun, the stars, and the moon, but he chose a man. "I'm making a covenant with man." His fragility, although it's fraught with weakness, there's something in you, a will, a heart, a soul, something that God reaches out to. It is God breathed. And then biblically we see, 42 generations later, we hear this parable spoken to publicans and sinners amidst the murmurings of scribes and Pharisees in Luke chapter 15. And it goes, "A certain man had two sons. And younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me.' And he divided unto them his living. Not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living." I gotta take a break because I was thinking about it. There's a lie in this world about relationships with the world. Here's what it is. You ready? It's, you can hang out with us. You don't have to drink. You don't have to smoke. Just hang out with us. Just bring yourself. And for a while, I'm walking up somebody. So for a while, it'll be cool. You'll be kind of the cool kid. Like, they'll even answer for you. "Oh, no, he or she, they don't drink. No, they don't drink. This is my good buddy from school." And so you hang out with them, and they start seeming cooler than church kids. They start seeming like they have something. And by the time you get around to seeing how they really are, to seeing the pain, the corruption, the lust, the hurt, the failed relationships, by the time you get there, it's already too late. And the devil will tell you that Jesus hung out with sinners, but that's out of context, and that's a lie. "And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, 'How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. I'm nowhere worthy to be called a son. Make me as one of thy hired servants.' And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him had compassion. I first received the start of this sermon. It was 3 years ago. I remember I was reading my Bible. I'd just gotten in church. And he brought the animals to Adam. And I remember weeping over that. Because I saw in God a creator, but someone so faithful and tender. And I pictured as he brought those animals to Adam, how he just brought me here. He brought me to this place I am now. And it's literally taken 3 years just to get this out, just to get this sermon. And when I just look back over these past years of having a relationship with God, I'm married. I don't have the financial concerns I had. We've worked hard. We've done good things. I'm in a place of ministry. It's just the beginning, and I know it. And I've never thought I would be that way. There were faint echoes when I was either 20 or 21. I remember this faint echoes of a call, but I didn't know what to do with it. I didn't know what I was doing. I didn't have discipline, so I just fell back into the world. But I still remember that just that touch, that breath. He brought the animals to Adam. But he didn't just let man fall and destroy himself. He saw his creation full of its faults, its evil destruction, the evil in its heart. But it was on that day that he brought the animals to Adam that he saw something else. He saw his church. He saw his creation. He saw your birth, and he saw every tear you've ever spilt. And he saw himself as a lamb slain from the foundation of the world. And Isaiah saw it and he said, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted. Yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He brought the animals to Adam. And Romans 5 says, nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. But God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also join God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. He brought the animals to Adam. And Peter tells us in 1 Peter 3:18, for Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, they might bring us to God. He brought the animals to Adam. He brought us back to himself. Jesus was more than a martyr. He was the God Almighty. The music would come. I want to close. There's a last relationship I want to show you. There was a man named Saul. He knew so much about God. So much about God that he persecuted people because he knew more than them. But he didn't have a relationship with him. And so we see this man, Saul. He's on his way to Damascus to take letters for his brethren, the people he's with. And on that road to Damascus, there's a voice that cries out to Saul. And Saul answers. And although Saul knew so much about God, so much about the law, about it all, there was a voice that said, it's me you're persecuting. It's I, Jesus. Why are you persecuting me? I've set this all in motion. And then men who journeyed with him stood speechless. And then he goes on. He goes on to be prayed for by a brethren there. Ananias puts his hands on Saul. Saul is, we see it in there. It says he will receive the Holy Ghost, but the scales fall from his eyes. And Saul, he learned and knew so much about God. But when those scales fell from his eyes, he knew Jesus. And I see you. I know you can feel kind of what I'm feeling in you. You know what I mean when I say it was that first relationship with man. But I think we should check our hearts tonight. Because we must focus not on our relationship with man, not on even our friends, especially co-workers, people of this world, people you go to school with. But it's a relationship with God, Jesus Christ, God manifest in the flesh, that matters. Let's pray. Lord, we need you tonight. There's an echo in our hearts and our minds that reminds us of our first encounter with you. And Lord, we may have taken that for granted, and we've gone down different paths. But Lord, we want to come back to you. You paved a way. We know you want to walk with us. So Lord, I'm putting all these things behind me. I'm looking ahead. I'm going to walk with you. I'm going to talk with you. Because a relationship with you means more than a relationship with this world of the opposite sex, of some sort of attraction. And Lord, I'm not going to focus on the attention I can get from a man. But I want to focus on the attention I can get from the man Jesus Christ. It's a relationship. A relationship. In Jesus' name. Jesus' name.